reaches up and he scoots over by her, and people coming out of the house and looking, and I thought, well, why didn't they do that for me? And so there's people that sing, then there's people that sing. And so I appreciate her today and using her talents. Today we want to talk about the transforming power of Jesus Christ and experiencing transformation. And what I've found out in through life is most of us at some point in time have areas that we just need to work on. Have you found that out? You get one battle settled and then something else will come up and you have another battle. And so battles aren't unique or odd in that sense, because many are the afflictions of the righteous, the Bible says, but the Lord will deliver us out of them all. And so I want to talk to you about that transforming power. And we've been praying for this service and asking God to transform lives today and help us to be more Christ-like as we become like Christ and depend on the power of the cross and not in our own strength and power. Everybody got your Bible today? You ready to learn? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and we'll start reading from verse 18. While you're turning there, sometimes, how many knows it's hard sometimes to be like Jesus? I heard a story a while back, and it's about two young brothers, and they were fighting over the last cookie. You ever fought over the last cookie in the house? Most of the time, I don't get to fight. They just steal the last cookie, and I say, who got the cookie? But there was two young brothers, and they was fighting over the last cookie in the house, and Mom thought, this is a teachable moment. I can really teach them about Jesus. And so she says to little Eric, and she says, the baby is Adam. And baby Adam, you know, Jesus, if Jesus was here, he would give his brother, because the Bible says, prefer your brother. And so he would give you the cookie. And they said, do you believe that? And they said, yes. And then little Adam looked at little Eric and said, Eric, you be Jesus first, okay? That's the way we are a lot of times, isn't it? You be Jesus first. And so it's not easy, but it should be our goal in our striving. We should always be striving to become like Christ. And through the power of the cross, we can. Verse 18 in 1 Corinthians 1 says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. To us which are being saved, to us that have received Christ, it is the power of God. It says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews requested a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jew a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, what I want to talk to you today about is you know, how many says, you know, I would love to be transformed in some area. And here's what usually happens. Usually it's an area that's, what I'm talking about today is an area where you have repeated battles. You know, you've got light in this area of your life, and this area is great, but there's an area or two where you have repeated battles over and over again. And here's what happens. You need transformation. I need transformation in those areas of our life where we're having the same battle. It could be relationship battle, and it just continues and continues. This much I know about that. If you have a repeated battle in a relationship, you're walking in darkness in some area. And that in that particular area, there's something that's not Christ-like. Maybe, you know, a few years ago in Oklahoma, we voted in gambling, and I've seen several people since then just really become addicted to gambling. And maybe that's an area where you go in and you overspend and on the machines and all, and maybe that's an area. Maybe it's some other addiction. Maybe it's an area of struggle with your body, taking good physical care of your body. We saw some old friends yesterday as was out eating breakfast, and one of our friends we used to go to church with a long time ago with these individuals said this young man was like 40-something years old and died of a heart attack last year because he didn't take care of his body. He always had a problem in that area. So whatever area you're struggling in, it doesn't matter. God loves you and He wants to help you in that area. He wants to give you a transforming power in that area. I heard a story about a man that this young man that bought a really nice house, and the previous owner said, "This is the only thing that I request. You can have all the house." He said, "But you see the wall over there?" He said, "There's a nail hanging on the wall, and I would like to keep that one nail for a place that I might want to hang my hat or hang something here from time to time. And so I'll give you the whole house except for the one wall with the nail." And the young man thought for a while, and he thought, "Well, that's not too much to ask, I guess." And so he sold him the house, and it was, everything was going well for a while. And then one day the previous owner showed up with a chicken. A dead chicken. And he came in the house and he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I come to hang my chicken on the nail." And so he says, "Well, it's his nail, it's his wall. I gave it to him." So the man went over and hung the dead chicken on the wall. And for the first day, it wasn't too bad. It just kind of looked ridiculous, but everything was still good except for the dead chicken on the wall. But about 3 or 4 days later, guess what happened? Now, I haven't ever hung a dead chicken on my wall, but I've been around some in the country. I grew up as a country boy. Now, you know, I can tell you what a dead chicken smells like in 3 or 4 days. How many knows what? It's not good. And then about a week later, just that one little nail that was given to the previous owner, it began to fill the whole house with stench. Until finally, the young man, it permeated the whole house and it affected every other thing he did. That's the way it is when we don't have a transforming power of Jesus Christ in one area of our lives. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I have come that you may have life and that you may have it," what? "More abundantly." Did He say in 95% of your life? Did He say in 80% of your life? No, "I have come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly in all of your relationships, in all of your dealings." And so here's what I know. If there's an area that you've given the devil, that you've given the flesh, and it's just that one little thing on the wall, it's going to affect all the rest of your walk in life. And so today, the good news is, we're going to get the transforming power of Jesus Christ so we can have complete light in Jesus' name. Amen? You know, we could have one little light in here, and it'd be kind of hard to read and see and get around. And if we could turn off all the lights, and what if the lights went out right now, and I said, "Okay, everybody, make your way to the door." How many knows what you'd hear? "Ow! Oh!" You know, because you can't walk in darkness. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have light and life." And so that's the goal and that's the key today is what we're looking for. Let me give you a couple examples. One of the things we noticed in Guatemala and we talked about is this. In Guatemala, probably the middle class have a very poor situation. Middle class would probably have like maybe a car, possibly two, but they're some of the most loving and joyful people I've ever met. The crew, when we took them to Guatemala, and this always happens. Every time we've led a trip to Guatemala, there's what happens. The people that go from the United States that has a lot more wealth and a lot more things, they always say this: "We come to be a blessing, and we received the blessing." That always happens. And usually it's with tears running down their face because they're walking in light and they're giving their life for Jesus Christ. It's not about stuff. In fact, they took us down to the river. First time I've ever been. In fact, I tried to call Jan. I said, you know, I got to call my wife. And she'd never guess where I am. I'm sitting on a little flat bottom boat in a pickup truck that I've driven up on this little barge. And I'm going down a river backwards sitting in a pickup truck. It's just awesome. But this is the way that they get you from where they are to the little beach area where they took us and had a little R&R one day. It's just awesome. And then they had just a little bitty wooden boat, maybe from here to Miss Haley and Long, and just a little skinny boat, and they tied another one on, and we had our little motor going down the river. And it wasn't fancy, but they were just full of joy, and the kids got out and swam in the river, and it's just like, God is good, and He's provided everything we need. I thought, wow. Abundant life. They get it. I thought maybe we need to give some of our stuff away because I see more stress on American faces. So it's not about stuff. Stuff will not transform you. But the power of God will transform you. The power of God will transform you. There was a man in the Bible. And he called him the rich young ruler. Most of the headings in the Bible you'll read in there. And one day Jesus came to town and he was speaking out of love and the word. And this young ruler asked him and said, Lord, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, well, you know the commandments. Honor your father and mother and don't steal and don't murder and don't kill. And then he said, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to Jesus Christ, he said, Lord, all these I have kept since my youth. He said, but there's still something missing in my life. That's what I'm talking about. You see, you know, in every other area of my life, it's good. But man, this one area. And he says, what is it? And he's got wealth. He's a wealthy person. But he knows in his heart there's something missing. That's what I'm talking about in your life today. What's that one area that you said, you know, if I could paint a picture of what it would look like if there was joy and love and contentment and self-control, this is what it would look like. That one area. How could it be better, and what would you have to do, and how would you get there? That's what I'm talking about, where we need the transforming power of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says to this young man, he says, this is your particular problem. This is the area you need transformation. You have a lot of riches, but you also need to sell what you have, give to the poor, and follow me. You know why? Because he knew in his situation, he didn't have riches. Riches had him. Maybe you have a lot of stuff, but you think, you know what? There's just something. There's got to be more to life than this. It's probably the transforming power of Jesus Christ. God made us to give ourselves away. He just made us. He made us like that to give ourselves away wherever we are. In fact, the Bible says this. It is better to give than what? It's better to give than to receive. It's better. And the reason it's better is because of what it does for you. When we were in Guatemala and our folks were, you know, tears running down their face. You know what we literally had done? We had touched the heart of God. He said, when you feed the poor, when you care for those that don't have, when you minister to those who are less fortunate, he said, you have touched and you have done that to me. Guess what we're going to do next Saturday? We're going to go feed God. So how can you feed God? We're going to go to Oklahoma City at the Rescue Mission, and we're going to feed 600 people next Saturday. In fact, if you're here and you'd like to go help us feed God, we could use your help. Because there's a lot more of them than there are of us. And we could, if you know how to flip a burger, if you know how to serve a burger, if you know how to give a Bible away, if you know how to set up equipment, we're going to set up our sound equipment, set up grills. If you have a grill and you'd like to feed God and barbecue for God next Saturday, we want to invite you to come with us. Miss Donna, stand up over here. See this lady? She's the one that's heading up the God feed. So if you want to come, it shouldn't be hard to recognize her, that blouse on today. You're looking springy for Easter in Jesus' name. Amen. This man says, I've got it all, but there's something lacking, Lord. I don't know what it is, but there's something that I'm not getting. And Jesus said, you know what, if you just sell your stuff. And by the way, I'm not a theologian, but this is something I truly believe. Not everybody that came to Jesus did he say, follow me. He would heal individuals and they would want to follow him, and he'd say, you know, no, go and show yourself to the priest or go back home and testify of what I've done for you. But this individual was a sharp individual. He's a businessman and had done very well for himself. And Jesus says, go and sell what you have and come and follow me. I'm not so sure that he wouldn't have been Judas' replacement if he had been obedient to God when Judas fell. Because he didn't invite everyone to come and follow him, but he did this individual. And let me say this, I don't know who it is that God, or what it is that God has called you to do, but he's called you to be a part of his kingdom and to serve and to give away your resources and give away your time, just like we did in Guatemala. We took resources, we took our time, we took our talent, and we just sang to the best of our ability, and we gave all we could give, and we preached to the best of our ability, and just gave ourselves away and poured ourselves out for a week. And then those that couldn't go, they gave money and supported the effort, and so it was a team effort from our church, and we were a blessing to the people and they were a blessing to us, because it's better to give than to receive. And then here's something else I want you to know. Another story that's from the Word, it says there was a little widow and she didn't have much. And so it's not about if you're rich, but it's about what you give to the Lord that matters. She came in and she would have the equivalent of 2 cents in our economy. And she put both of them in the offering as it came by her when she came up to present her offering. And Jesus called his men around and he said, I want you to know something. This is the best giver in the house. So it's not about, you know, when you feel like, well, what could my little difference make? And what, I don't have many talents, and I don't have much money, and I don't have much time. You know what? Give what you have to the kingdom of God. Because it's not about the abundance, but it's about the sacrificial gift that you give to yourself. You know, a lot of Haley took her spring break. Eric and Adam took their vacation time to go and bless others. Megan took her spring break. And so, you know, that's cost to them. That's free time for them. But they sacrificed it and gave it to God. Give it to God and watch the transformation come. The little widow lady, she put in all of her offering, and he said, she's the best giver in the house. And here's what I'm going to do. When I get to heaven, I'm going to look her up, because it really aggravates me because they didn't finish the story. How many knows when you give your best for the Lord, there's always a miracle, there's always a blessing that follows, and they didn't finish the story. So when I get to heaven, I'm going to say, Lord, you know the little widow lady that gave her 2 pennies? Where is she? I need to talk to her. And I'm going to find out about her blessing. Now, here's what I want to tell you today. There's two attitudes to have. If you're living in an area where there's repeated trouble, there's repeated problems you encounter, and you say, you know what? First of all, you need to confess there's darkness in that area. Something is wrong, or it wouldn't be a cycle. Now, here's what we think. If it's a relationship issue, here's what we think. When it's a repeated issue, it's them. Yeah. Let me tell you something. That's an old trick of Satan's that he uses all the time. Remember before you were married, you prayed, oh Lord, if I could just have them. Oh Lord. And then after you got married, after all, oh Lord, I have them. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Now, other than an abusive situation, God never called anybody to stay in a physically abusive situation. But most of the time, it's not an abusive situation. Most time it's just a cycle we get caught up in. Maybe it's a cycle with somebody at work, or maybe it's an old habit that's just hard to break. The conditions is... Now, here's what I know. If you're saying, Lord, I can't change, but I want to change. I desire to change. The Bible said that God would give you the desires of your heart. So it starts with desire. If if there's some area in your life you say, you know what, it's not right, and God has never called you to live that way. He's never called you to live there. Are you with me? You can if you want to. But if you have a desire today to say, I want to change that, you're in a good position. Because God will help you. We just read where the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those that perish. But unto us which are belong to Christ, it's the power of God. It's the power of God. Now, here's the dangerous place. If you're in a position and there's darkness and there's a reoccurring problem in your life, and you say, I won't change. How many of those, you've got deeper issues? Because that's rebellion. In fact, God says it this way, if it's a matter of forgiveness, if you don't forgive the individual that you're mad at, hurt about, whatever, I won't forgive you. And so we cut the power of God off, and we cling to the darkness because we refuse and say, I won't change. Big difference. I can't change. God says, you're in luck. I can help you change. But if you're like the rich young ruler that says, no, I cannot sell what I have. I can't sell out in this area. You know, sometimes in relation we think if I sell out, if I forgive them, if I don't push back, then they'll just treat me like a doormat. That's the natural response. Listen, we're all going to have battles till Jesus comes. Just get used to it. That's why he said, get up in the morning and put your armor on. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Put your helmet of salvation on, your breastplate of truth, and gird your loins about with truth. You know, he said, we've got battles to fight today. So there are always going to be battles, but they shouldn't be a repeated battle. We shouldn't be a vicious cycle that we're caught up in. If you're in that place today, you need some light. You need some light to walk in for the glory of God. In Matthew 10:38-39, Jesus says it this way. He says, you know what? We have to take up our cross and follow Him if we're going to find light. Today we sing about the cross, we preach about the cross and the power of the cross, and that's the way we're going to receive the transforming power of Jesus, is to walk in that light. And turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3:14. 2 Corinthians 3:14. And he's talking about Israel, and he's talking about when Christ come, and I want you to get this today, because if you're in a vicious cycle in any area of your life today, today it can be broken. Today can be the first day of a new beginning, a new start. And it says this, but their minds were blinded until the day that the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Notice the veil is taken away in who? Christ. But even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. And that's what happens in areas where we need transformation, where we have repeated battles. There's a veil that's there that needs to be removed. And this is what he says about that veil in verse 16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord. Everybody say, when one turns to the Lord. Okay? That's the first step. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what?
Liberty.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's the transforming power of the cross. There's liberty. There's liberty. I've told our guys before, you know, one of the greatest things I discovered in marriage is if you want to fight a battle with your spouse, guys, we're called to lead our wives with what? Love. Here's a guy that's been married a long time. He just spurred it right at love. That's the instrument God gave us to lead with, was love. How many knows it's not real loving when you come home and you say, chicken again? because it's not very loving when you leave your dirty underwear on the floor. So now you're just trying to start trouble, Pastor. Now, my wife won't allow me to do laundry in our house. The last time I tried to do some towels the other day, and she said, "Did you wash those towels with those towels?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "That's why I don't want you to do laundry." And I still don't know why those towels couldn't go. I guess they don't like them towels. I'm not sure. But I'm totally confused, and so I won't do laundry anymore. I didn't see nothing pink or red, or I don't know. But now, I did try. Yeah. There's some things they say just don't do. Just get out of the way and don't, you know. But there are things. This morning I had about 5 or 10 minutes. I got up early and was reading and praying, and I had a few minutes. I said, "Can I do something?" And so I peeled some potatoes up until time to go. And she said, "Thank you very much." See, that's loving her, using love in our relationship to lead it. I could have just sat down or been here a little early, but I thought, you know, I can help. And so, but our relationship is so good. I don't know how many times she's patted me and said, "It's so good to have you home." You know why? Because I try to rule with love. Now, sometimes she doesn't pat me all, you know, I mean, we have our day. We've never had a fight in 36 years. We only have intense fellowship. But you know what? I learned something years ago, and this is what I do. When we get in the intense fellowship mode, I begin to lift her up and praise God for her and say good things over her and pray good things over my wife. And that did something for me. When I learned that years ago in our marriage, it transformed us. It took away, you know, because if you want to debate, I can debate. You know, I just love to talk anyway. I think that's why God made me. He's going to talk anyway. Let him be a preacher, I guess, you know. So I love to debate. But how many knows it's not about winning. It's about what's right. And God said, if you want a good relationship, rule with love, guys. See, that's something that transformed for me years ago. And so I'm just saying, I don't know what your area is, but there's a veil, and it said, where the Spirit of the Lord, and if we allow the Spirit of the Lord to come in, it brings liberty. It releases that darkness and brings light into a situation that we don't have to walk in that all of our lives. I mean, it says, I would rather just walk in liberty than stress. And I'd rather walk in liberty than in bondage. And that's what the cross brings, is liberty. Verse 18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." That's the preaching of the cross. That's the power of the cross. Eric told a powerful story. I'd never heard it before, but it reminded me of this, Eric, when I read this, about the young man that was in love and his girlfriend was blind and he wanted to get married. And he was just madly in love with her and just wanted to marry her and so badly. But she said, "You know, I just can't. I can't see. And if I could only see your face, and if I could only see the world and all the beauty and all the things, I would marry you." And time went on, and some eyes became available, and they did surgical procedures and gave her these eyes, and she was able to see. And she looked at her boyfriend, her fiancé-to-be, and she looked at him, and he had no eyes. She didn't know he was blind. And he said, "Now will you marry me? You can see." And she said, "I can't marry you. I don't know if I could look at you forever. And I'm sorry, but I can't marry you." And said, as she was walking off, he said, "Well, take good care of those eyes, for they once belonged to me." Isn't that powerful? They once belonged to me. And I'm talking about getting rid of the eyes that we have. Because Christ gave us eyes to see with, that's full of love and mercy and compassion. In fact, when He looked at you and me in sin, He said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And He saw us in a different light. In a light that says, I could give my Son for you. Now, I don't know about you, but if it came between you dying and my children dying, I'll see you in heaven. I just don't have that kind of heart. I couldn't give my children or my grandchildren for you. I would pray with you. I might could give my life, but I couldn't give my children. But God looked at you and through eyes of love, a different kind of eyes, and He said, I love you so much, I'll give you my Son. You imagine how difficult it was for God to watch His Son on the cross and hear His Son say, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that was the separation. The first time the Son had ever felt the separation from the Father as He took on your sins and my sins. And He had never experienced separation from the Father until that moment. And so today, God says, I'm going to give you new eyes to see through the transformation of the cross. Today, if you'll believe. Now, here's the first part. Here's what I want to teach you today. Today, we're going to say, you know what? The first step is to come into the cross. For the message of the cross is to those that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it's the power of God. And I don't care how long you've been stuck in a situation and that continuing battle and cycle continues to go, today can be a new transforming day to you if you say, I can't, but I want to. Now, if you say, I won't change, then God won't help you today. But if you're in another category and you say, I would love to change, I desire to change in this situation, but I just can't, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the first step today. Here's the first step. Next week, I'm going to talk to you about vision because it takes two, you know. God first helps you and gives light to you, but then there's a process, and I'll talk to you about that next Sunday, about the process that will really help you. But today, the first step is this, is to say, Lord, I can't do this in my own, but I don't want to stay here anymore. I don't want to stay in this position. I don't want to stay in this with this stress. I don't want to stay here anymore. I want free from this. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a relationship issue. Maybe it's a financial issue of overspending. I don't know what it is, but God knows. And if you just give it to Him today and lay it down at the cross and take the first step today to transformation, He can help you. Let's pray. Father, right now, for everyone that's fighting a battle, and it's a cycle that they've been caught up in, it's a continual battle that they revisit and revisit. But today, Lord, they say, through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ, I want to break its stronghold in my life. I don't want to live this way anymore. I don't want the stress. I don't want the hassle. I don't want the storms. I don't want the turbulence anymore. And today, I take the first step. And my desire is to get free, to receive light in this area, to see with new eyes, through the eyes of Christ, through the eyes of love, through the eyes of compassion. And while heads are bowed and people are praying, I want to pray over you today. You say, Pastor, now listen, if you really want to get free today, you have to do your part, okay? And no one looking around, this is between them and Jesus Christ, but if you're here today and you say, there is an area in my life I don't want to battle anymore, I want to see it healed in the name of Jesus, I want you to lift your hand and I'm going to pray over you today. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Keep your hand raised. I want to pray over you. This is your first act of faith. Heavenly Father, you see the hands that's in the air. This is their first act of faith in Jesus' name. And God, today I ask that you would give them eyes of compassion, eyes of Jesus Christ. Today I pray that you would transform their heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we come to the foot of the cross, and you said the preaching of the cross is to those that perish foolishness. But us that have our hands in the air, God, it's not foolishness to us. It's the power of God. And by our lifted hand today, we say, God, today I take the first step. Now do this with me. I confess my sin in Jesus' name. I confess the darkness. And I'm today, Lord, I turn from it in Jesus' name. And I turn to the cross. I turn toward God. I turn toward righteousness. And Father, by faith, with our hands lifted, we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless us with a new heart, a new attitude, new wisdom, new anointing today to handle this problem. And God, we will see it gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Because we're calling on You. You said if we confess our sin, You're faithful and just to forgive us. We confess today. And God, we say we are sorry for the part that we played in this. And we give it to You in Jesus' name. Thank You for Your release today. Thank You for new eyes to see. Thank You for lifting the veil in this area. In Jesus' name, amen.